WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I'm into a segment right now. I'm just going to throw myself on the mercy of my sponsor and friend and guest here. First off, he hasn't been up on my roof lately, and spring has sprung, so get him up onto your roof if you have a commercial space. But Bill, honest to God truth, and this is no disrespect to my friends at Royal Farms either, because I drink their coffee, but your mug has been displaced in the move. So I have not held your mug up on the air in weeks. So I apologize. It was wrapped by the Von Paris people when they moved me in. And at some point I'll get the mug back. But in the meantime, I'll just hold the Wise Market up and say that I love Cole Roofing. Is that fair?
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying not to take the mug thing personally, but it's okay. I understand.
Well, you're even more upset with me because you gave me two. You had that tall one and then the short one. And the tall one's the one I knocked over and destroyed my console on. So
I am happy, though, to hear you say that you used my friends at Von Paris, because I love John. Like, good family. Love those guys.
I got John's boxes. I could hold them up here. You know what? Your mug is in one of John's boxes. All right? In that Von Paris box. Bill Cole is here. He does roofs and he chats with me. Dude, you haven't been on in like a month. I slept through an alarm last week and blew you off. I mean, I'm struggling here in 2022. The LA thing and the Super Bowl thing, is there anything you want to say on the backside? We got a baseball lockout. We've got an invasion going on in Ukraine. Nothing's happened since the last time we got together, right?
Yeah. I mean, I thought the Super Bowl was pretty good. I wanted the Rams to win, so haha, I got it right.
You can bet on it now.
Yeah. Like, I thought LA showed well. I think that stadium is pretty amazing.
It's amazing.
It's pretty awesome. I can't wait for the Olympics to be there. I'm a big Olympic guy. I like the Olympics.
Oh, so you've been watching?
Oh, yeah, constantly. I mean, that might be my favorite part about the Olympics is whenever I get a chance to actually turn the television on, I don't have to figure out what I want to watch. I'll just watch cross-country skiing or curling, or I don't really care what it is. If there's an American on the TV, I've got a rooting interest and rah-rah, let's go. I don't care what it is. So I find it fun.
See, the Olympics are something that if you've done it all your life, you'll do it. And we used to do it every 4 years twice, and then they moved it and, you know, all of that going on. I've talked to Don about this, and you know, Don and I are sideways about sports in general. If you listen to us, you know, the Orioles can do no wrong. The Ravens can do no wrong. And I'm just a prick for pointing out the fact that they've lost 100 games, you know, every year. So, but when it comes to the Olympics and the World Cup, and you know, I'm a World Cup guy, right? Like, and I'm, sure. I'm, you know, Terry's going to bring the World Cup here. Sure. He is.
Sure.
And I'd be all for that. The level of corruption. And as we talk about Russia invading Ukraine and having dipshits on television here and right-wing zealots cheering him on, which is just beyond anything I can wrap my arms around or be in a relationship with. If you're cheering for Putin, that's just where it's at. But the notion that money, that kind of money, has destroyed the Olympics. It has destroyed the World Cup from a purity stand. If you're just looking for television, go for it. You know, if that's what you want to watch, if you want to laugh, if you want to cry at this 15-year-old girl who clearly was drugged and cheating and then fell, and she's 15 and she's a girl, and I, what is she doing there, and the mental health, and like all the modern parts of this. But the Olympics as something that I watch with prescience in 50 years of watching this from Munich, and probably Munich and the guys with the black mask and the machine guns are my first memory at 4 years old of the Olympics, before Nadia Comaneci, before, you know, Mary Lou Retton or any of that stuff. But I would say that the money and the corruption, the crime. I mean, the fact that these people could roll into a sovereign nation with tanks, and this asshole's on Fox News every night saying, go Russia. And these politicians are being supported financially. This is where the rubber meets the road for the World Cup, for the Olympics. The NFL better be careful, especially with gambling, that the level of corruption has moved me off of it, especially as an event that I'm watching and taking seriously as a fair competition, or countries versus countries, or whatever it's supposed to represent for pride. All that comes across for me is what awful, awful people put this on and have usurped five rings and athletes and put them to work to make money and sell ads and displace people in Rio, displace people in Athens. You know, the only reason China got it is because they're so corrupt. They have no rules, so they get it again. You know, they're going to play soccer in 120 degree heat this year in Qatar. I mean, really? Really? Come on.
Isn't all that just a product of the world we live in? I mean,
I need to go away. If the world's just going to be run by blatantly corrupt people forever, we all should just go crawl in a hole. We all should just go to the move to the Ukraine and say da and whatever Mr. Putin says. I mean,
No.
That's not.
At what point, maybe the version.
The way you fight against it is you talk about it and you don't say rah, rah, rah. Okay. The Orioles are okay. And
okay, maybe. I don't know. Let's come back to that. But I would challenge your perspective on history as if there was a time when it wasn't corrupt and that you long for the good old days. We just were not as informed. You know, like things have always been screwed up.
Well, look at him. And they were raping these gymnasts. This guy was raping gymnasts systemically for a decade and a half.
Right. Pick any period of time in the history of the world and humans, and you will find
flawed individuals.
Yeah. Bad things going on. Right. And I don't know. Maybe my perspective is just that our job as good, you know, meaning to be kind individuals is to understand that it occurs and overcome despite that, right? Like, despite
that's the American way, right? That's the American way. We fight for the right things, the right causes.
Yeah. You think it's a human thing. Not
but I think our country was founded on different principles, and I do believe all that crap. You know what I mean? I do. I still stand for something, which is why I've made so many enemies along the way, right? Like sure. If you're still supporting Donald Trump at this point, we're probably going to have a really, really tough conversation, and it's probably going to be terse, and it's probably not going to be polite because I sat and watched it, and now I'm watching it again. And that's just probably not going to change today, tomorrow, next week, until I don't have a beat left in my heart, to be really honest with you. So when I see the political discourse is one thing, but to screw up the games, right? That, I mean, that's supposed to be part of this. Is supposed to be a fair fight. That's supposed to be the sanctioning part of all of this. Is that we all start at ground zero in a football game, a baseball game? We play pickup. That's just sports. When sports lacks that, it becomes Alabama playing broken pelvis state September 7th and winning 64-7, you know, like it's not a fair fight. So I think part of the reason we like sports in America is thinking that, oh, my dad would say he puts on his pants the same way you do, right? Right. Like that. It's a fair, you don't bring a gun to a knife fight or the other way around.
But it's been completely unfair for its an entire existence. Whether it's
the Americans and the Chinese and the Russians have advantages just because they have a government that stands behind them and feeds them and trains them and, you know, puts them into the system in regard to the Olympics, right?
The sooner we accept that people are always going to behave outside the rules that you and I have subconsciously established or what you and I agree to. And we just accept the fact that people are going to play by different rules.
And then we punish them. And then we really punish them. And we have a jail for them. Or we have a fine for them.
No. You punish them by beating them without having to use their rules. Right? Without having to cheat. I still overcome that. That's the real sending them to jail. They don't care because the guy that's really pulling the strings, he's not the one that ever goes to jail. You know,
it's obvious in this country.
He's not the 15-year-old whose life is going to be wrecked because of the way she was abused, or the coach that was the one that gave her the drug. Like, You know what I'm saying? They'll
Yeah, the autistic the guy who had the horse head on and the red, white, and blue paint, he's going to jail. The guy who sent him's not.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah.
Always. Look, as a side note, just to give you and the millions of people listening a little piece of wonderfulness. You know,
yeah, I woke up with a raccoon in my window this morning. I need better. I need you to pick me up, Billy.
Audible, right? Like you're familiar with Audible, like the audio version of books or whatever.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know if it's Amazon or one of the big ones bought it.
Or some guy like me with dulcet tones reads the book.
Yes.
Yes.
So it's wonderful, right? It's like one of the great inventions of our time. Like the fact that I can.
Books on tape.
Yes. Yes.
That you can be illiterate and still read a book.
And every day when I'm driving in my vehicle, right, I can get a few chapters in. So on there, I found this thing called The Great Courses. And it's like the one I'm doing now is 43 hours of a guy giving a lecture about the history of the United States. And I'm telling you, like, I thought I was a little skeptical, like 43 hours. Oh my gosh, I'm going to drive.
That's a long movie, like, dude.
Right. Well, it's only been 200 years.
I watched The Sopranos 20 years ago. I'm not sure it was 43 hours, you know?
Right. But this guy is like a master storyteller. You know what I mean? Like, I was not excited by history going to school. Like, I just couldn't get into it. But I love it.
Don't tell Moeller that he taught history.
I love history now as an adult, but as a kid growing up, man, I couldn't take it. And the difference is that as an adult, I'm able to go find history and consume it in a way that works for me. Like there's a guy, Dan Carlin, who does Hardcore History podcast, right? He does World War I, and those are like epic 4-hour, six novels, four
I'm
hours.
I'm just not that interested in it.
Well, and I would at the surface say that, but Dan Carlin is a dude that you sit down next to at the bar and he starts telling you a story and you can't pull away from it. Like, it's such a great story. And he tells it to you in a way that is relatable. Like the story of World War I is, you know, nobody really understood what machine guns were. Like, machine guns did not exist. We came out of the Napoleonic Wars of people on horseback. And yeah, there were like guns.
Muskets, right.
Right, but not machine guns. And at the beginning of World War I, Germany, and you know, again, I'm not a professor, so if I get this totally wrong, I'm sure people will chastise us, but whatever. Germany tries to invade Belgium.
It had to do with Ferdinand, right? I mean, literally, it was the Archduke Ferdinand of Austria. Like, that's the first thing I Googled. I Googled that it had something to do with Ferdinand and World War I. That's what when I think of World War I, I think of Ferdinand. But I don't know why, but I did take history courses in eighth grade with Miss Simpkins.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you that.
The assassination.
It was the assassination of Archduke
Franz Ferdinand. So I know a little bit of history. So there you go. All right.
But that's an even better story. And if you like conspiracies, you got to compare that to the death of John F. Kennedy. And it's really weird. But anyway, the Germans, far superior, are trying to take a road or something in Belgium, right? And Belgium has very little forces, but they have these little mound forts. And they have some machine guns. And because humans did not understand, the Germans just kept charging. And Belgium.
At some point, they'll run out of bullets.
Well, no, they didn't even, like, it wasn't even a comprehension that they just kept killing them and killing them and killing them. The only reason the Germans were able to get through, again, this is storytelling, is because the pile of dead bodies got so high that the machine gun couldn't
shoot
the ex-guys.
Right.
And they got past them around the back, and that was the end of it. But it's this concept of how humans evolve and how they lack of understanding. And anyway, my point is, Audible, wonderful thing. there's this masterful storyteller, and they take these class, like this is a lecture series from a university or something. And you can just go on your phone and be getting that information whenever you want.
Well, I mean, the information, we don't lack information here. We lack good information, right? Like the ability to get information now, it's what are you getting and what university is sponsoring it and how do they feel about, you know, Black history? Are they going to teach true Black history or are they just going to erase it? And that's sure. That's an argument that we have here, you know, in modern times. Bill Cole's here. I would hold up his mug. I don't have it. So I'm going to hold up my Wise Markets mug and say it's a wise conversation with our friend Bill Cole from Cole Roofing. Tell me what you do, because you get on roofs and you do solar and you try to make the world a better place in your way.
Yeah. I mean, for over 100 years, we've just been trying to, I guess, keep people's buildings dry. You put quality roofs on. I think
you do raccoons.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, okay.
Really?
But, all right. Just making sure.
You know, part of what we talk about a lot is the commitment we have and, how lucky we've been to employ good people from Baltimore, you know, over the years. And it's a lot of families that have come through, and that seems to be topical no matter what the circumstances are. Like, whether it was pre-pandemic or post-pandemic or whatever pandemic, or just, you know, everybody wants to make a big deal about the great resignation and all that stuff. And it's like, man, we've always taken care of our people. Like, we know that that's our most precious resource. So
how many employees you have?
Probably over 100 right now. It's ebbing and flowing.
How many of them have been there more than a decade? Percentage.
Probably over 25, over 35%, I would guess.
Right on, right on. Well, I mean, that's what local is, right? Like jobs here's my and here's commerce.
My favorite, right. My favorite is the greatest compliment your employee can ever pay you is when they show up to work one day with their kid and they're like, hey, can you give my kid a job? Hmm. Like if you do right by someone to the point that they are willing to bring their kid to work for you, you should feel very, you know, proud of the job you're doing, because that isn't, I mean, is that not like, don't we all want better for our children?
Absolutely.
Right. And if
so, my kid doesn't work for me.
Right. So I think I always hold that up as like the proudest thing. And we've had that a number of times over the years. We've been real lucky with that.
Bill Cole is here. Cole Roofing, Gordian Energy. They take care of roofs. All right. So we talked about the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand, and we've talked
You want to unpack Ukraine a little bit in Russia?
We haven't talked about it on the station at all. Right. I'm sure Mueller and I will be talking about it ad infinitum, you know, once the thing begins, and he and I get after it this week. But, you know, I've done a lot of sports lately. I've done a lot of football. I've done a lot of what the Ravens are doing. I've done a lot of baseball's on strike. You know, how am I going to entertain myself? Believe it or not, I've done a lot of music this week because I saw John Mayer. I went up to New York to see John Mayer the other night, and music's back on my radar in a way masks are off, that if I'm going to do anything, it ain't going to be a baseball game, whether they play or not. You know, it's waiting on the Springsteen tour. It's, I mean, look, the Orioles are in the baseball business, but they're in the Paul McCartney business right now. Right. So even John Angelos wants to bring Pearl Jam to town. So I think we can all figure that's a good idea. So if you want to talk war and Ukraine and Putin, I'm happy to do that. So let's do it.
Well, I want to circle back to that real quick, because, you know, we sent you a picture of me and your buddy Schuller together. That argument eroded, not I don't know, argument's probably too strong, but you brought up Paul McCartney, and we were commenting on the fact that, like, you kind of have to go, right? Like
it's like the Pope coming?
Kinda. Like that's what we were debating. I mean, like top five. I mean, he was a Beatle. Like who else is still out there that rivals that? And maybe it's not a great concert. Maybe who knows what he'll play. Like, what, you know?
No. He plays all night. Well, I'll tell you, I'll make a statement for McCartney, because I've seen McCartney a bunch of times and I met him and he autographed a Rolling Stone for me and answered a question for me. So I'm a McCartney guy. I saw him up in Hershey. I guess it was 6 years ago now, five, 6 years ago. Jen and I went up. Luke, went with his mother, sister, brothers, family night out at Hershey Stadium. It was a beautiful night.
See, that's all you need. That's it right there. If Paul McCartney, if the person you're seeing, you can take multiple generations to, and it's like a night that you got to go have, doesn't that put him, like, who else is in that category? That's what Schuller and I were debating. Who else is in the category with him?
Well, the people, they're dead. You know what I mean? Like, literally. Right. I mean, Billy Joel's come to town, and Pearl Jam will come through. Springsteen will come through. There's a handful of people.
Like, I love Billy Joel, but Billy Joel is not in the Paul McCartney category. Elton John, we brought him up. Like, some people would try and shove him into that category, but I don't think he's in that category. Not Paul McCartney level.
Well, but the issue is McCartney did it in 1961, and Elton John did it in 71, and Billy Joel did it in 78. It's just a matter of longevity, in the way that if Tony Bennett's still alive, right? So Tony Bennett, you would say, well, you know, Tony Bennett's Tony Bennett, but he's not McCartney. I would agree. The Beatles are the Beatles.
That's
literally
what I mean.
I mean, there's Stones, the Beatles, the Who, there's Zeppelin. By the way, and this is a fascinating aside, do you know Toby Blumenthal? At any chance that he ran the Meyerhof for a long time. He's a Baltimore guy. He runs the Mann Theater up in Philadelphia, and Robert Plant's there that night. So I had Robert Plant in Philadelphia in my calendar for June 12th. So when it happened, I'm like, uh-oh. Zeppelin or the Beatles? You know what I mean? Like, it'd be a terrible question.
That's a good one. So, all right. Well, I just thought that was fun.
Okay. Well, you want to talk Ukraine. So let's talk Ukraine here.
No. So here's just a little ounce of perspective. So to me, and maybe I'm, you know, maybe there's something wrong with me. No, I don't think I'd debate that. But it's really scary when a nuclear country goes to war with anyone, right? Like, it's really scary.
Yeah, it's 1980s kind of Cold War.
You know, like, you're banking on the fact that the guy in charge doesn't become unstable and make a really bad decision. So that is almost so scary that you're.
Dude, this is a guy that brought German shepherds to a peace summit with another leader of free world to intimidate her because she didn't like dogs. Like, you know, this is a guy who poisons people all over the world. This is a guy who has tea on the ledge and people just fall out of windows. Like, that's a Russian thing. They want to execute you, they push you out the window and say you jumped, and there's no trial. You just jumped. Right. It was a suicide.
So, all right. So I've listened to enough geopolitical experts, right? Who geopolitics and the concept of, like, futurists, right? They collide a lot because you try and look at geopolitical issues and then from there be able to project, like, what's going to happen over time. And, you know, a lot of them have addressed the fact that Russia, you know, has an extremely eroding population, right? So all the old people are getting older and there's not a lot of young people.
And I guess all the young people, they put a machine gun in their hands, they go down to Kiev and walk in.
So the Great Red Army, right, is like no longer this, you know, billion man operation. It's minimized. And what the pressure becomes on them is, Russia is like a giant place and they don't have enough people to effectively protect their borders. So their only choice is to try and move geographically into places that will give them natural protection as opposed to just wide open land that people can invade from.
No one wants to invade Russia, not the Mongols, not the Afghans. No one's running into their hills to become Russian.
I don't, understand that somewhere at its core is this, like, need for natural resources.
And Ukraine has it. Yeah. Ukraine is a fertile southern, things grow there, food grows there, all of it. Yes.
Same with the Russian planes and all the oil and natural gas and everything that is in Russia that Russia is now holding people hostage with throughout Europe to sell to. So Russia will need to extend their border to create a defensive position that they can then hold. You know, we need to push up to this mountain range and then we can defend just the small path, you know, because that way we only need 1,000 guys instead of 50,000 guys. After Ukraine, they're going to have to push into Poland because Poland represents that other geographical boundary. They have to shrink the distance that they have to defend.
Eventually, they'll make it to Berlin.
Yeah, I don't know if any of that right is like true or whatever. This is just like how these guys explain it. And it's like, okay, so.
Well, I'm trying to get into the mind of Putin, who's a KGB terrorist, literally, I'm right? Like, he's a terrorist who has aspired to power. Where here we took, you know, a blowhard TV creep, you know, and who has no intellect at all about any of this, or no curiosity about any of this, other than, you know, Putin was nice to him 25 years ago and gave him some hookers, you know, like literally, like that's and was willing to build a Trump Tower in Moscow for a couple $1 billion. Like it's literally all about money on the capitalism side. And I think Putin understands that. He throws enough money at corrupt America. We go back to corruption. Let's go back to the beginning. You throw enough money in PACs to politicians in Texas, Ted Cruz will take your back. Because the idiots in his district don't have a passport and they think, you know, Putin's a nice five-letter word. And Russian, well, you know, I mean, they're not that bad. You know, I mean, they're Russia. I mean, Tucker Carlson says they're the good guys. And he's smart. Look at his hair and he's white. So I don't know the intellect of where an American would sit on this, but this is a heinous act of war against 40 million people. I have friends who are Ukrainian, not of descent. I mean, friends who've lived in Kiev and invited me and like all of that, right? You know, wear the gold jerseys when their team plays soccer in the World Cup and whatnot. I can't imagine what they're saying to their children today. I mean, this is a heinous thing that's happened, and I don't know what the outcome is going to be. But to your point, it's not, well, we're going to bring the Army Reserves in and go machine gun to machine gun with Russians on the streets of Kiev. It's the nuclear thing that I think worries everyone, and the fact that Putin's crazy.
Well,
right. At one point, we had a crazy guy running our country. He still runs 46% of the people's minds here in some way and says Putin's the good guy. I don't know how we got to this point. We got to this point because people don't know anything about history. That's what the issue.
My interest is to attempt to keep this apolitical just because
but it's not apolitical.
Well, hold on. My concern and the fear around a nuclear war, whatever, like, how can I put it into a basket in my brain so that I get up and go to work every day? And the issue is, if you look at his movements as strictly trying to protect his country, that means that the nuclear option is not something that would help advance that cause. So when I listen to these people and they tell me why he's going to have to do this, look, they don't have enough workers to support their population. They don't, you know what I mean? They have real structural problems. The country is collapsing. It's collapsed multiple times.
Meanwhile, the 12 guys that are, you know, that have all the money have boats sitting down in Miami. I mean, I can take you down in Miami right now and I can drive you through 12 straight blocks. That's nothing but Russian people bringing millions of dollars, doing all the shopping, supporting South Florida and how they got here. I mean, I remember a point where the first Russian I ever met, I'm like, how did you get here? Like in the 90s, right. I started meeting Russian girls, at bars. And I'm like, oh, you're a nanny. Oh, okay. Yeah. Like, I wonder what your parents do and how did you get here and how do you speak English so well? And Nice to meet you, Natalia. You know what I mean? Like, I was blown away because I never saw a Russian person until I was 30. Now I can take you anywhere in this country and out in LA and just show you complete. Talk about immigration problems with the Mexicans coming across the border. These are people that just came over from Russia, plopped down, bought in Trump Tower on the 14th floor, a $1.3 million estate, and just are hanging out on Park Avenue, you know, shopping and buying $7 lattes. I mean, and I don't know where they came from or where their money. I know it wasn't earned in this country. I know that their second language. We wonder when their skin's a different color or looks a little tinted like mine. You know, they must be from Honduras. The Russian people just came in because they're white. And I know Putin probably deep down, Putin knows how racist our country is. And he sees this as, well, they're white people. They can't be that bad. They're Russian. I mean, some of them even speak English. He's counting on that, I guess, selling it in this country. They have this mind tank selling it neighbors and our friends that voted with red hats that this is okay. This is on the best interest of America to murder Ukrainians. It's insane.
I don't think they even care about selling it. Because they understand that the consequences of doing nothing are so dire that they're forced, that they have forced their hand. So that's what I'm like, and I'm the wrong person, but someone, right? This would be a cool podcast guest for you is like, okay. Who's the Russian expert that understands literally how close their country is to collapse economically, demographically, like they have structural problems that we can't even comprehend. And that's despite the corruption, right? That like corruption just gets piled on top, right? That just exacerbates the problem. They don't have enough people to survive as a country.
But they have enough to wage war.
Small wars, wars like this. Wars where they're incrementally moving into pieces that because of mountains and other geographical, whatever they're called, characteristics, right, make it easier to defend and hold, right? Like if I push all the way up to this river, now there's a river in between you and I, which means I don't need as many tanks and guys.
It's a natural border. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Bill, I've got to wrap this short. So I mean, you can say that the war will still be going on next week, and hopefully we don't get nuked between now and then. And I guess baseball will still be on lockout or whatever the hell they're calling it. And the Ravens won't have any picks yet. I mean, Aaron Rodgers might be a Steeler by then, but who knows, right?
Yeah, I thought he was going to Denver.
Yeah, I don't know. That's right. You know, I mean, that's another guy there trying to get inside the mind of Vladimir Putin or Aaron Rodgers or Antonio Brown. We can do that another time. What are you excited about for March? What do you got going on? I mean, St. Patrick's Day, you know, you got anything happening?
Not really. I mean, I'm a big March Madness guy, right? Like that'll be fun.
I was talking to John Martin from the Maryland Lottery about this. You can go bet on it now, right? Like, so I had so many friends. You would have been one of my buddies who said, hey, let's go out to Vegas for March Madness and hang, right? I mean, watch basketball all
day.
That's one
of the funnest trips we used to take.
Ah!
You could take the 6 a.m. flight out of BWI. It would get you in. You had to take the cab directly to the book to get the 12:30,
not like up the strip, game. Like Hard Rock, like close to the airport.
Whatever. You had to get them 12:30 bets in so that you could get the first games, but you could do it. You could head out Thursday morning and it would be fun.
And if you like St. Bonaventure to, you know, beat Oklahoma and take all the 15-2.
Right. Take all the tens. Yeah, sure. No.
7-10. That's the way to do it. Bill Cole is here. I'm reaching for your mug. Cole Roofing, Gordian Energy, been doing it over 100 years, does it better than anybody, and I promise next week we'll talk about football instead of war, all right?
Good deal, man. I appreciate it.
Some people have compared football to war, but we now know the difference. Big appreciation to all of our sponsors, including the Maryland Lottery, our friends at Wise Markets, for supporting these wise conversations and having fun around here. And my wife's coming home next week. I'm going to find your mug. Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy taking care of us around here. I am Nestor. We are WNSD. Stick with us. It won't be all politics. I promise we'll get back to just talking about how the Orioles suck. We are BaltimorePositive.com.